1, 2, and 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and offendings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Those listening, Brother Means, give us a call at 856-261-9018 or questions at bftbc.org. If you'd like to hear from me, give us a call or comments or questions. All right, this is a new chapter, chapter 2. 1 Peter 2 in verse 1. What does the wherefore or go back to?
The previous statement.
And what do you think the statement means? Which one do you think it's going back to? Any hands or questions on it? Well, probably the gospel is preached unto you, and the word of the Lord went forth, perhaps. Wherefore? Because the gospel got through unto them, have they accepted the Lord, do you think? These people, First Peter's writing to? Do you think they've accepted the Lord as a Savior?
Yes.
Probably so, yes. Talking to them in verse 1. What does it mean to lay aside?
What
does man, what does lay aside itself mean?
Put it away.
Get rid of it.
Anna?
It's like when
you take off your coat, you lay it aside.
Okay, that's good. That's very good. So, where do we lay aside here? What same thing? What's the first
malice
one?
Yes.
Barbara?
Malice.
All right, the first thing. What is malice? How did you define that, Barbara?
Wickedness that is not ashamed to break laws.
All right. Very purposeful evil. As I said before many times, the sin of libel or slander, one of the things that must be there must be malice, especially for libel, which is written slander. Slander is spoken slander, but it's something that's purposeful, really hateful and purposeful. It has to be in there. It has to be the thing that goes with the Yavah.
The footnote says desire for malice, desire to harm others or to see others suffer extreme ill with will or spite.
That's good, and that's what it has to be in order to prove written slander, or slander is spoken and libel is written. That's what the law says. So this next malice, we don't have to be malicious in any way and want to harm anybody else. What's the next thing that we should lay aside in verse number 1? Yeah, Tammy?
Guile.
What is guile?
Deceit.
Deceit is what? Yeah, Barbara?
Craftiness, subtlety.
Trickery. In other words, we don't want to be deceitful in any way, shape, or form. That guile seems to be like deceit, isn't it? And what's the third thing where Christians should lay aside? There's two hands, Tammy and then Barbara?
Hypocrisies.
What does that mean? Tammy and Barbara?
A false face.
False face, right, Barbara?
The acting of a stage player.
Acting of a stage player?
I didn't hear her.
The acting of a stage player.
Stage player.
Oh, okay.
In other words, pretending. It's pretending something that you're not. Something that someone's a hypocrite, professes to be something that really isn't. So it's a very serious charge. What's the fourth thing we're to lay aside if we're genuine Christians? Yes, Barbara?
All evil speaking.
But even before that?
Oh, envies.
Okay, envies. Barbara, Tammy, what does that mean, envies?
Jealousy.
All right.
Wanting what someone else has.
All right.
Covetousness,
that's good. Envy, wanting something else. Somebody has a good car or a good suit or good whatever, wanting that and envying the person. Now, do some people have more than we do?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of people have more than we do. But we shouldn't envy them. Just let them go, let them alone. And the final thing that we're to lay aside is what? What's the final thing?
I don't know.
Verse 1. Yeah, Barbara?
Evil speaking.
What would evil speaking mean? Tammy?
It's speaking against someone.
All right.
Against God.
Against God, all right. Now, as far as we had a question from one of our people. What's it?
Oh, it's so loud.
Turn that volume down.
She turned it up. No, when she was turning it on, because it required extra force to turn it on, and then the continuation of the same force causes the wheel to Never mind.
So you got it all right on it now?
Yes, fine. Good. I didn't expect so much attention.
Okay. And Cash, you got yours all right?
Yeah.
It's fine, okay. Now, I'm glad that Bob Schlegel came this morning. He hooked his up and he's all right, too. He said his earphones are better than his own, the ones we have in the church, which is good.
But you have to be in church all the time to use them.
I know, that's true. Because that's it's tuned to our system here. All right, so evil speaking. Now, someone wrote a little email to me the other day and mentioned when we exposed some of the things that Obama's done differently and so forth. They wondered about that situation. I wrote the person back and I said, as a pastor, I've got to follow Ephesians 4:21, I think it is. Like I said, let me see, 4:21 is, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's what I said to do. Reprove means to expose them and to bring them to light and so on and so forth. So I told the person that's exactly what they have to do. A lot of people don't like exposing people. Some churches, the pastors never say anything exposing anybody, see? But that's what the scriptures tell us to do as pastors and other Christians, all of us.
Exposing someone is different than speaking falsely or evil about them.
Yes, that's true. But some people consider exposing them as speaking evil about them. See, that's what they think is speaking evil. But exposing, bring to light and bring them out in the open. Did the Lord Jesus expose anybody?
Yes.
Who did he expose?
Pharisees.
Okay, let's see your hand. Anybody hands on that? Yes, Barbara?
Pharisees and the scribes.
That's right. Now, do you think the Pharisees thought he was speaking evil of them when he exposed them? Might they have done that? Yes, that's right. So there's a fine-tuned difference, perhaps, but there it's in the general idea of that. So all these things were to lay aside. Lay aside. And is that easy or difficult? Sorry to lay aside these things, but that's what God wants us to do. Peter was very clear on that. Then in verse number 2, what does this first phrase mean? Newborn being. Yes, Tammy?
Well, we're comparing a physical baby mm-hmm. to a Christian in this place, in this case.
All right. And now, what does he ask me? As newborn being. That's Barbara?
It's a comparison.
Comparison. What else? Anything else?
Metaphor?
Yeah, well, probably similar.
Yeah,
I get the mixed up. As or like. See, just so like newborn babes. So we're putting ourselves, these Christians that are apparently newborn babes, maybe they're just recently saved, that Peter's writing to, just like the newborn babies, just born in the hospital, we're to do certain things. What's the first thing we're to do? Yes, Henry.
Desire the sincere milk of the word.
Desire. That's a very important thing, isn't it? I mean, we really be eager to take care of this word. Do newborn babes desire milk from their body? That's right, they do, absolutely. And so, just like the newborn babes, have a strong desire. Now, what is the difference between milk and sincere milk? Do you think? Any hands on that? Yeah,
thank you. Sincere milk is pure.
Okay, pure.
It's not polluted with some sort of contaminants.
What does the milk refer to now, as we understand it today? In the spiritual sense, what is the milk?
It's the Bible, the Word of God.
The Word of God. Okay, just one hand, so I just call it one hand, but I have two voices. Okay. So now, is it just any old Word of God? Yes. Cass?
No, it should be the pure Word of God, like the King James Bible.
Right. Anna?
It's the sincere milk, which is sincere, sincere, but without wax.
That's right.
Because when they had pottery and mm-hmm. it broke, they would put it back together with wax. Mm-hmm. And so then you could tell that had been broken.
Right.
But the scripture isn't broken. It's without wax.
Without wax.
Sure.
And in the New Testament, for example, what do we say about the modern versions of the day? Is it sincere milk of the word?
No.
What's wrong with it? Why is it not sincere? Anybody hands on that? Yes, Cass and Ellen, Barbara and Tammy.
Yes. Well, because they change and they drop and they add words that are not supposed to be there, so it makes the Word of God not pure.
The distance, affection, changes over the way. Yes, Tammy?
There are incomes and differences. They garble the Scripture.
Oh, but I'm sorry, pardon.
Oh, I say it's insincere. If Scripture is sincere, then the opposite is insincere.
Yeah, that's right.
So therefore, it would be not pure and not reasonable.
Not reasonable. Okay, Tammy?
And 356 doctrinal changes.
Very important.
Doctrinal passages.
Doctrinal passages, yes, passages.
Have changes in them.
Have changes in them. They're very bad. 8,000 differences, that's true, and all these things. Now, what Greek text in the New Testament do they use in these modern versions, with maybe one exception? Yes, Ten?
No, Westcott.
Westcott. And what is another word for that text?
Critical.
Critical. Didn't say handbook, Ten?
Critical text.
And what is another word for it? Pastor Dan?
Eclectic text.
Eclectic. What's another word for it?
Ten? The
Nestle Allen. False text. Nestle Allen.
And the United Bible Society.
What's another word for it? Yeah. Barbara?
Sinaiticus and Vaticanus.
That's good. What's another word for it? That's right.
Anyone want to mention Westcott Port?
Yes.
Origin?
Origin. What's another word for it? The text that these modern versions use. Gnostic text.
Oh.
Gnosticism. 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 Critical. See, that text was used by the Gnostics.
And,
sorry. What was the headquarters of Gnosticism? Yes, Colin? Barbara?
Alexandria.
Alexandria, Egypt, see? And from Alexandria, Now, in Alexandria, Egypt, that's where the Gnostics flourished. And they had just the false text of Gnosticism, and the false text was Westcott and Moore text. It was a Sinai and Vatican text, Vatican and Sinai. And so they just used that, and from that arose all these other things. So we call it the Gnostic text. And the Gnostics, what did they? What was their theology? What did they believe? What did they not believe? In part, in summary. Were the Gnostics Bible-believing, solid, born-again, saved Christians? Barbara?
They allegorized and spiritualized everything.
They did that? And what do they think about the Lord Jesus Christ? Tanner?
It's just a man.
Did they agree with that, Anthony, on that?
Yes.
Just a man. It wasn't God. So, that's the trouble. Didn't believe in the resurrection, just believe in the sinner. Did you believe in the virgin birth of Christ, the Gnostics? They didn't believe. He was just like a regular person. So he was a sinner. He didn't die on the cross. In fact, he had some other person die on the cross, not even Jesus. So they had this false text, and that thing is now worshipped by all these modern versions that they don't even think about. It's strange. So the sincere milk of the Word. And what purpose will strongly desiring the sincere milk of the Word do? What does that mean?
So that they can grow.
Babies
need not to grow, so Christians need
Is it
the
important?
Milk and
Word. Is it important for genuine Christians to grow? Do all Christians grow? No. Should they all grow? Yes, they should. They should grow by strongly desiring the sincere milk. And once you desire it, what do you just do? Look at it? What if the baby just looked at the milk that's in a bottle with her mother? But instead of looking at it, yes.
That's
a drink. That's a drink, a partake of it, yes.
That's
right. And so, I've always thought that in Bible reading and Bible study, there's several things, but reading is one thing, but heeding and following is another, isn't it? Mm-hmm. If you just read it, some people don't even read it. They'll just leave it on the table with dust collecting for several years or decades, but we've got to really important. It's very important as we learn it. Now, this growth, what does that mean spiritually? I know what it means physically. Well, just fine. What does it mean physically to grow? Any hands on that one? Oh, wait, no. Okay, what?
Your body grows.
Barbara?
You grow emotionally and physically as a baby. You start out not doing much, and then you get to crawl and walk and run, and physically you mature.
Yes. Tammy?
The babies take the nourishment of the milk, and their bodies use that to develop themselves. Mm-hmm. The Lord uses And so they help develop
them. And once they're a certain age, what do they partake of then?
Meat.
Meat, diet? Baby food, junior food, solid food. That's right, Hannah?
The milk has everything broken down into the smaller building blocks. But then the meat has the larger macromolecules. So initially you start out with everything broken down for you. Then you're able to break things down without them being broken down at the same time.
That's right. So even after the milk, and many times there's center thing, which is what?
What do you mean the center
thing? Well, there's the next thing, the meat scrolling. Right, yes.
There's baby food.
Baby food, yeah, the junior food, baby food.
Like, cereal.
Baby cereal, so is that Anna?
And so sometimes that stuff is pureed.
Yeah.
So it might still have a lot of the molecules all together, but it's pre-chewed.
Pre-chewed. So that's by the way, I understand the mother's milk is more nutritious than the bottom milk. Strength. But now, what's Anna?
Well, I said, of course, and because, cow's milk is made for baby cows, and giraffe's milk is made for baby giraffes, and goat's milk is made for baby giraffes, so mommy's milk is for babies.
Yes, that's good.
By the way, what
do the cows feed on most in the United States of America? What kind of food do they use?
Grass.
And who fertilizes? What's the fertilizer of that grass?
MUG or LNG or something.
GMO. Genetically modified organisms by that Monsanto. Monsanto is a huge fertilizer. It makes millions and billions by feeding the cows this false, fake food. So the milk is contaminated. Pardon me?
They feed the cows fertilizer?
No, fertilizer food. The fertilizer fields that the cows use to eat. And so the cows are contaminated, and their milk is contaminated. That's GMO food. It's a terrible thing. But now, there are some other things that you get at Wegmans somewhere else. It says, what's the name for it?
Organic.
Yeah, you get organic. GMO free. So, now, in the case of Christians, what is true if a young Christian, a babe in Christ, begins, what would it be different from the baby, say the baby food or junior food and meat? What are some of the things that might be different in each stage of his growth or her growth? Any ideas on that?
I don't understand.
In a spiritual sense, when somebody's feeding on the milk of the word, what kind of growth would that be? But what if it's junior food or baby food or even meat? What differences are there in those that partake of these different substances? Yeah, Tammy?
Well, that's the same thing of 1 John. It's always about the different, the fathers, the young men, and the little children. And it says, I have written unto you fathers because you have known him that's from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because you are strong in the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So, there's a different level of spiritual maturity for each of them. And the little children, because they have known the Father.
Yes.
Verse 2:13 and 14.
That's good. It's really hard to know just what it is when somebody's growing in grace, but if you've been saved many years ago, however many years it is, whether 40, 50 years, or just 20, 25, or 10, 15, are you different? If you're growing in grace, and feeding on the sincere and open, the whole thing, your concepts are different, your thoughts are different, and that should be the way each of us should progress. And grow in the knowledge of our Savior. So that's it, that you may grow. And that word grow, that's what we're trying to define. What is that growth? That you have a different idea, different prayer life perhaps, different connection with the Lord, different idea to please Him, different thoughts and things. And now in verse number 3, if so be, what does that go by? Oh, sure. Barbara.
Hebrews 5:13, for everyone that eateth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Yes, well, that's a distinction between the milk and the strong meat. Mm-hmm. And so, now, what is the if so be referred back to? If so be. What does that go back to in the preceding verse?
What verse are you in?
We're in verse 3. What does it go back to? Yes, Tammy?
The desire. The sincere milk of the word.
All right. And also that ye may, what?
Grow.
Now, if so be that you've tasted and you're
growing.
The
desire, if so be that you've tasted the Lord's gracious.
Yes. If so be that you've tasted and you grow. You tasted that the Lord is gracious. So, in other words, you get into the Scriptures, Old and New Testaments. You find all kinds of grace, especially Old Testament, how he pardons these sinners and wicked Israelites and all kinds of things. He's just gracious. And if you get into the Word and grow thereby and taste the Word of God, continuously taste that, you see God is gracious God. To just forgive all these things. How I could forgive some of the Israelites' sins, and how I could forgive our sins even today. But so that's an important thing. It's important to see the grace of God. And then let's read verses 4, 5, and 6 together. To whom, coming as unto a living stone, so disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones, build up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Those who are listening out to it, give us a call at 856-261-9018 or questions at vftbc.org. Let us hear from you. Give us a call or comment or question. So verse 4, to whom refers back to what? To whom? Tanny?
To the Lord.
Or Jesus Christ, probably. Whom coming? Now, what is he likened to here in this verse? Yes, Barbara.
A living stone.
Okay. Now, what does that mean? Do stones really, are they living? Are physical stones living? Or dead? Anna and Tanner.
Oh, I had a comment.
Oh, you go ahead.
Not in, and not in the answer.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was going back to the previous verse about tasted.
Yes.
And so I was being Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
Very good. In order to find that, you got to taste the Lord. Was it Barbara had something? Oh, okay. Was it Tammy? Tammy?
Yeah, you were asking about the living stone, what does that mean?
Oh, yes.
And I was thinking of the rock in the wilderness.
Yes.
Where water came.
Right. That's good.
And trying to see if it said. I know in Corinthians, I think it referred to as, and referred to that stone as the living stone, which was Christ.
Yeah, the rock that followed them also.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, there were at least two, maybe three occasions where that rock brought forth water. What was the first occasion? What was the answer to bring that water up? Yes, Tammy?
Well, Moses was to hit the rock once.
Once, come on. And the other, maybe there's at least one more, maybe there are three, but what's the second or third? Yes?
He was supposed to speak to the rock and then he hit it.
He hit it? How many times?
Twice.
Twice, that's right. There may have been one in between, but at least there's speak to the rock and one was strike the rock. Yeah?
Is the rock being a picture of Christ.
Yes.
And that Christ was struck once for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, he didn't have to offer himself again.
Mm-hmm.
So when Moses struck the rock again, instead of speaking to it, which
right.
He was breaking the rock, which because after that, Christ is offered himself, and now we speak.
Just once, it is finished, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to strike him again. That's very good. And now in 1 Corinthians it says this, they partook of the rock that followed them. How do you see that? the rock, the Father. Who's that referring to today? The Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the physical rock that just moved here, but the rock, one of the rocks was there, but the rock that they smoked or spoke to, the Lord Jesus was there to give forth the water.
What verse is that?
1 Corinthians 15, I don't remember the exact verse. They partook of the rock that followed them. Is it 1 Corinthians 15? Seems to be in my mind. I'm not sure. Maybe took it up in your computer and see for sure. We don't have Ryan here for his computer looking up.
Which
we got Anna. Is this the word rock that followed them? Or just that followed them? Or just followed them, probably would do it.
It's probably 1 Corinthians 10:4.
Okay, go ahead.
Maybe. I don't know. I have a reference here.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Okay. Read it, please.
Go ahead, Barbara. I'm not there yet.
Oh, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ?
Yes. It's interesting. That spiritual rock that followed them, he saw to it that when they spoke to the rock or struck the rock once, the water came forth. Very important. So the living rock, living stone, it's a homecoming as into a living stone. If there's a rock, he's certainly living on it, huh?
That's why we sing, for Jesus is the rock in the weary land.
Yes,
weary
yes.
A shelter in the time of
storm. Shelter in the time of storm. That's a good the song, is it? Now, what does disallowed mean? Any hands on that? Disallowed, verse 4? What do you mean if somebody disallows of Anna?
Well, isn't this from, later it talks about builders disallowing, sure, that's what I was saying.
All right.
So when they're building some kind of structure, and you have different stones, and they say, okay, this is a good stone to put in the foundation, this is a good stone, no, we don't mm-hmm. want that stone. Mm-hmm. So the builder said, oh, we don't want that stone, but it's become, but it's the cornerstone, mm-hmm. and they reject it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tammy, and then Pastor Dan.
I was just going to say rejected.
That's good. Disallowed. Pastor Dan?
Same thing.
Yeah. In other words, if they're in one of this country, you can't think which it is, they used to have husbands and daughters, dances were coming together. Now they've changed all that so that the mothers and fathers, the whole thing is coming together.
It used to be father and daughter dance.
Father and daughter, yes.
Father and daughter dance.
And they've changed it now. Now, if they had the father-daughter dance, suppose that's the case, or whatever it is, and what if a mother came in, she would be disallowed. You can't go in, you're not allowed. Now, if they're disallowed, he's not allowed, right?
Maybe the mother brought the father.
Well, the father, maybe the father came in, okay, or a little, somebody, maybe a son's of the daughter. The Pastor Dan?
Well, we don't dance, do we?
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm just illustrating what they've changed. No, we don't dance at all.
We're not taking it up overnight.
No, we don't want to take it up.
We're not taking it up at all. No. But I was illustrating the rules about the people coming to this meeting. Suppose the meeting, don't say it was a dance. Coming to the meeting, it's just like, for example,
the father-daughter banquet.
That's right. If the mother comes in, not the daughter, she would be disallowed. Right? It's just like if in a deacon's meeting in a church, local church has deacons and have meetings, if a person is not a deacon, they would be disallowed. See, in other words, other things. When you go into the various places, for instance, when the president's first to hold the office, the very, what do you call it? What's it called? Yeah, Pastor Dan?
Inauguration?
Well, no, like
inaugural ball?
Where he lives right now in the
White House.
Yeah. What is that, his office called?
Oval.
Okay. If that is outside everybody's entrance, unless the president lets the person in, come in and knock on the door, he would disallow. So, in other words, what is disallowed in this verse 4? Who is it referring to?
Lord
Jesus Christ. Disallowed a deed of men, a people that just didn't have anything to do with him. It's a sad thing, isn't it? But what is true of the Lord Jesus, this living stone? That's it, Pam?
It was chosen of God.
What does that mean to be chosen of God?
Selected.
Specially selected, absolutely. Specially selected by God the Father. And what's the next word mean?
Precious.
What does precious mean?
I really can't
hear. Yes.
Where we are.
We're in verse number 4. The Tammy?
Rare.
Chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 4. That's it, Tammy?
Rare.
That's right, it means rare. You say precious stones. What are some of the precious stones?
Diamonds.
Diamonds. Rubies.
Emeralds.
Sapphire.
Jasper.
Precious stones. Very sick, very scarce. Because they're scarce, what is true of these precious stones?
They're valuable.
Because they're so scarce. Is our dollar precious?
No.
because it's paper. But if you have your money in silver or gold, is that precious?
Yes.
Yes, because it's scarce. That's it.
Revelation 21:19-20 talk about precious stones, about the gates of the city are made out of 12 different precious stones, jasper, sapphire, emerald, sardis, Revelation 21:19-20 and so forth, beryl, topaz, amethyst, keep on going. So that's Revelation 21:19-20
Very good. Those are precious stones, very scarce, and valuable. Yes, Cass.
Now, I'll think it over for a minute.
Okay.
The high priest, when he went into the Holy of Holies, he had the breastplate with all those precious stones.
Yes, he did.
The whole breastplate was 12 of them.
That's right, 12. One, three,
and
two,
I think 12. Two on each side, I'm not sure.
On his shoulders, right?
Possibly two. Precious stones also.
An onyx and a.
Onyx.
Carbuncle?
Carbuncle, yeah.
Maybe?
Very good. So that's important that he is not only chosen of God, selected, but he is precious. This stone, this living stone, this precious valley. Are there very many of such living stones in the universe?
No.
How many are there?
We don't know.
Wait a minute, living stones?
How many living
stones? One.
Just one. That's one, Lord Jesus Christ.
But then verse 5 describes the believers as lively stones.
Yes, you're right. Now, the people that don't love and follow and accept and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, what is Christ to them?
Nothing.
It's nothing.
Yeah, that's
what it is. What's
Anna? For a stone of stumbling
around
the fence.
That's right.
Verse
8.
We keep going.
Is this living stone to them precious?
No.
It's sad, isn't it? Really sad. Can it become precious to them?
Yes.
It can. And that's what we try to encourage people to tell them about the Lord Jesus. It's up to them to say yes or no. Can't force them. Do you have something to question?
No.
Okay. Now, coming to the precious. Then in verse number 5, who is the ye referring to here? Yes, Barbara.
The believers.
The believers. These are genuine Christians. Ye also are what? Tammy?
Living or lively stones.
Now, in what way are the Christians living or lively stones? Tammy?
We're alive in Christ.
Alive in Christ?
So we're stone like he is.
All right. Are we stone cold?
No.
Some people are.
In the picture.
That's why we shouldn't be stone cold. Yes, Barbara?
He is the living stone. We are as lively stones.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And similar, yes.
What is the difference between living and lively?
Well.
Is there any? Living is alive. Lively is.
Living, I think, would be an adjective, would it not? Living person, living plant, living. So
lively.
But lively would be an adverb, would it not?
Well, not in this case.
Not in this case.
No, I know, but I'm talking about the general word. She asked what the word lively. For instance, this girl is very lively, but she's jumping all around. This boy is very lively, see? But that would be this. But you're talking about now the spiritual meaning of the living.
Right, and it's an as. We are, Christ is, and we are as.
Yes, right, as.
As a living stone.
Yes.
Christ as well.
Right.
That's as
right.
For him as well.
Okay.
Yes,
so
yes.
He's not a stone. I mean,
no. So we're all as.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a picture of him in the wilderness. He wasn't literally a stone.
Right.
Yes, Andrew.
But we're the same thing then.
As under a living stone, yes. So, I think that we should be related. We are related, for January's sake, to that stone. Yet that time.
We're all in the same house.
Yes.
And so we, he is the cornerstone and the foundation, and we're the stones that build up the house.
Yes. So we should be as the living stone, Lord Jesus Christ. We should be Christ-like. We should be Christ-like and lively as he, as lively stones. So then, in that same verse, number four, number five, lively stones, build up a spiritual house. What kind of house would that be? What does a spiritual house mean? And Barbara, and then Cass.
The first thing I thought of was the house of Israel and the house of Judah, which was the physical, children of God, people of God. And then we are, spiritually, we are also of the house of God. That's what came to my brain.
Yes.
I just want to say, according to what Barbara said, that our home, our body, which is our spiritual house, will be holy and full of God's Word, and that's what makes us spiritual. We should be pure and holy.
Do we have the Holy Spirit of God within us? So we are built up. Now, what is the idea of built up? Is it similar to verse number 2? Grow thereby? Build up? Are all genuine Christians building themselves up?
No.
Are they all...
But they should be.
They should be. Are they all designed to sit here and look at the Word? No, they should be. But so maybe build up a spiritual house. And then what else is... So not only a spiritual house, but what else? Yes, Cass.
Well, just about the build up.
Yes.
I got to echo on.
Oh, that's fine.
When you're building up, you're constantly... Like you're building a house, you're doing things all the time. So if you're getting spiritual build up, you have to be in the Word. You have to be praying. You have to be looking for the Lord and have the Holy Spirit within you, not grieving the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So that would be like a building up process.
Mm-hmm. So it's a process, isn't it? And that's going to help. Was it Barbara, did you have something? Oh, no. All right, so build up.
We're
on verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Then verse 5, what are we doing? What else are we also as in verse 5? Not only saliva stones, build up a spiritual house. What else?
We're a holy priesthood.
What would that entail? Oh, it's Cass. I mean, Barbara. Tammy, I get to kick your horn. Okay, go ahead. Barbara first. What did you say?
Easy when
he said Eleanor. No. Yeah, I got that memorized.
I know who Eleanor is.
Okay. And Tammy, what to make this holy priest? What are we supposed to do as holy priest?
Well, I'm just going back to the initial beginning with, you know, the strangers scattered throughout Pontus. And we were talking about, we thought that those were the Jewish believers. And it's an interesting contrast that they were the holy priesthood, because in the Old Testament, you know, they were a holy people, but only certain ones were priests. And now, in contrast, each of the believers is a priest, you know, a holy priesthood.
I remember when we were preaching maybe 5 to 10 years ago, somebody in our class referred to this verse in 1 Peter, something about priests or whatever. There was a great objection because it was speaking. It said, no, this is not in Paul, this is Peter. So a very strong objection.
That was
right here.
It was in this book.
It was in this book,
Mr. Carroll.
Yeah, but right here.
Because of what Dan was teaching?
No, maybe when he was teaching, but when I was teaching too, he just rose up and said, no, we can't apply that, we're not this, because it was in the first Peter, and he doesn't believe that anything except Paul is for today. Just throw it out because of his friend, what's his name? Les Feldy. So, but these are holy priesthood. Now, which group of the Israelites were in the priestly line? Whoever?
Levi.
And then which were in the Levi, a lot of Levites, who was closer to the Lord as far as the Lord's work? Yes, Dan?
Aaron and his sons.
Okay, those are
the priests.
Those are the priests. And but as far as the Levites and the priests, who are the closest to the Lord in his work? You touching that?
You know, Gershon, Kohath, Merari.
I'm thinking of which group, the priests or the Levites?
The priests.
The priests were closest. What did the Levites do?
They assisted and did the work of everything.
They assisted the priests. And what did that... Wait, let's give this... You'll be right there. Jacob?
Nice little
boy. Jacob, how are you? Go ahead.
How are you doing, sir? Hi, everybody.
Hi, Jake.
I wanted to read it, Exodus 19 before Moses went up to the mountain. In chapter 19, 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine. And he was talking about all the people of Israel here.
Alright.
Shall be unto me a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. If they would have accepted this at the time, they could have had this holy priesthood, but they could not, of course. He knew all along the program of this, though. I just want to say that and hello and everything else.
Well, thank you, Jake, very much. That's way to Jacob in Texas. Jacob and Dale. That's good. Good to see you. Thank you for commenting on that. So, the Levites, Al Ann, go ahead.
So later on in verse 9, it goes further than just holy priesthood. It says, you're a chosen generation of royal priests.
Yes.
Which is very interesting because in the Old Testament, the king was not supposed to be acting as a priest and vice versa.
That's right. That's the verse, I think, that there was difference of opinion. When I quoted that verse, oh, that's not right. We're not a holy priest. Holy Paul. This is not Paul. So, now, when the Levites were chosen of God, what did God liken that to? And so on. Yes.
And they were the firstborn. They were in place of the offering of the firstborn.
In place of the offering of the firstborn. So, did they have any land given to them as a regular, as far as a inheritance land? Yes.
No, they were given cities.
Green cities. But they didn't have any land. But how did they exist? How did they get their money?
The people brought offerings.
All right.
And there was the shekel for the temple.
All right. They brought the offerings. Yes. Tammy.
It seems like there were certain areas.
Yes, as they say.
Areas outside the city.
Yes.
That they were able to do some sort of agriculture or something. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, it was all based on the tithes of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there was. We were looking at that.
Yeah, the tithes of the people. And what were the Levites to do with those tithes? Any hands on that one? Yes, Anna.
The Levites themselves then gave a tithe to, the priests.
The priests, that's right. So they just took the tithe here. So the Levites, Levitical cities they had, but they weren't inheritance like big lands, like the tribes were given land portions. All right, so the holy priesthood. Now, that's verse number, what is it, 5 or 6?
5.
Number 5, yes. Now, if genuine Christians are a holy priesthood, what is their duty according to verse 5? What are they supposed to do? Yes, Alan?
To offer a spiritual sacrifice.
Okay, Tammy? I mean, excuse me. Yeah, Tammy?
Barbara.
Well, they're to offer sacrifices, but there are different kinds of sacrifices than the Old Testament priests.
Right. What do you think a spiritual sacrifice would be?
I don't know.
It
would be a giving, like it says in Romans 12, 1.
Your body.
Yes. Offering yourself to the Lord.
Holy sacrifice. That's right. That's spiritual. In other words, what would a sacrifice be spiritually? You know what a physical sacrifice would be, of animals or whatever, but what would a spiritual sacrifice be?
You mean in the Old Testament?
Or just regular today. Any hands on that? Roberto, Yvonne, and Jess.
Well, there's things that when you give your bodies for the Lord to use and dedicate it, there's certain things you don't do.
All right.
There's certain things you don't wear. There's certain places you don't go.
Mm-hmm. Jess?
Well, I was just going to say the same thing that I wear. You just give yourself over to the Lord, mm-hmm. and you let Him lead you, mm-hmm. and not try to lead yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, if someone says, I did this at a great sacrifice, literally, figuratively, what do they mean? Yes, Tammy?
A great cost to them.
Great cost? Great cost, and very hard.
Not a financial cost. No, but it was a burden to them.
Burden to it, a difficult thing to do, sacrifice. So we offer spiritual sacrifices. What do you think some of the spiritual sacrifices might be?
What would that mean, I wonder?
Well, I'm trying to figure out. What do you think it would be? Yes, Barbara?
I think of missionaries who go, right. especially to the more undeveloped countries.
Mm-hmm. That would be a spiritual sacrifice.
Same. Just saying no to your own will, right? Your own desires that you
yes.
want, and to do what God would have you mm-hmm. to do.
That's right. Eva?
Well, if you go to a place that's difficult, it may be a spiritual sacrifice, but also may be a physical sacrifice.
Yes, that's true.
Because like it wears on your body. Some people die because they catch diseases there.
Yes.
They're worn out.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't even ministered much at all. It's just
right. Right. Now, if it's a real spiritual sacrifice, what is it described? What should it be in the last part of verse 5? Tammy?
Acceptable to God.
What do you think that would mean? Acceptable God. Barbara, do you have something in that?
No, I'm just going to answer your original question.
Yeah.
Well, it's like in the Old Testament, there were certain offerings that were acceptable mm-hmm. and certain ones that weren't. And then not only was in the case of a lamb, or for that matter, anything was supposed to be without spot or blemish,
yes.
but also the way that it was after it was offered, there was a time period in which it was to be eaten. And if it wasn't eaten within that time period, and it was eaten after that, then it would not be acceptable.
Not be acceptable. Okay, in Romans 12:1-2. Let's look at that text. Mm-hmm. I beseech you, therefore, brethren,
by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God,
which is your reasonable service. These things there, now that's your bodies. A living sacrifice. What would that mean? What does he mean by giving him your bodies? A living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. What do you think it would mean?
If you take this on first value, it means you're giving your body like a lamb that's offered
mm-hmm.
for death to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
If you take it at what it's saying.
To do as he wishes, right? Yet, Barbara?
Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but you yield ye yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
Yes. And Romans 12:2 also tells us a little bit about the sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may do what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's again acceptable. Two verses, 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Yvonne?
This spiritual sacrifice is spiritual.
Yes.
It's not you're giving your in the dedication of yourself, you dedicate your body, you dedicate everything.
To be used of the Lord, that's right.
But it's spiritual, you don't kill yourself.
No, that's right.
You may die in your yieldedness and working, you may be killed.
Or a living sacrifice.
Living sacrifice.
That's contrasted to the Old Testament,
yes.
which was the
The Old Testament, they gave that animal, a clean animal, proper animal, but when it's spiritual sacrifice, we make the Lord king of our lives and we do as he wishes. It's not what we want, what he wants. If it's really not, we don't get killed, but we're living sacrifice. He's a living. How do you have a living sacrifice? Living and dead at the same time. See, that's what God wants of us, Pa.
Well, In the Old Testament, even today, in places, people do give themselves and are killed.
Yes, that's true.
Or their parents throw their children to Moloch.
Is that scriptural?
No,
it's sin.
And they would give their children. They weren't much in giving themselves.
And the Islamics, with their Sharia law, if the girl or boy does something against Sharia, sometimes they sacrifice them, kill them. That's a terrible thing. And I think President Trump is looking out for that. Look into that. It's murder. See, but Sharia law is not murder for them. It's just fine. See, we got to clamp down on this terrible.
Wicked. Yes, wicked.
Terrible.
Evil.
That's right. Satanic. So, acceptable to God. Now, notice the last phrase, by Jesus Christ. What did that mean, by Jesus Christ? Spiritual sacrifices, a spiritual house. Yes, Tammy.
That's how it's acceptable because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us.
Right.
That's why the spiritual sacrifice is acceptable.
Right. By and through the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His help, by His aid, through Him, through His power. See? Mm-hmm. What does Philippians 4:13 say? I can do all things through Christ, who Christ has strengthened. And what does the Gnostic critical text do with that verse?
By the one,
not by Christ who strengthened me. See, they take out Christ because they don't believe. They can't do anything.
A lot of the CCM songs, they say the one or him or you instead of saying God or Lord or Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
They just wipe out His name and use pronouns all the time.
Yes, that's interesting.
And you don't even know what they're talking about.
That's very interesting.
They could be talking about, like, it could be like just an ordinary song.
Yes.
For all you can tell.
Exactly right. So that's verse number 5. Shut the rod. Then verse 6. Now, what do you think the wherefore goes back to? What particular word or phrase or thought? It says wherefore also. First Peter 2, verse 5.
Verse 6.
Verse 6. Right. That's it. Wherefore also. What do you think that goes back to? What thought or word? That is contained in Scripture. That's it.
Yeah, the living stone.
Going back to the living stone. I think that's true. It's contained in the Scripture. What Scripture are they referring to there? Yes, Barbara?
Isaiah 28
is good. And what is this, in general, what is the Scripture? This particular the verse, but if you say the general word of the Scripture, what would that refer to?
It refers to the Old Testament.
Probably the Old Testament. That's right, the Scripture. That's right.
I heard someone preaching about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
You look kind of like you.
Really? Poor them. All right. Now, what does this verse 6 say from Isaiah, as Barbara said? You want to lay in Zion. Where's Zion? Zion.
Jerusalem,
that's right. Hill of Zion. Why in the King James Bible is it Zion? Explain that.
Transliteration
in the Greek is S. How about the Hebrew? Why is it Zion?
Transliteration,
that's right. Zeta, probably a Zeta.
No, not in Hebrew.
They
don't have Zeta
in Hebrew.
Okay. What is it? S?
Zeta.
Seen, could be seen. Could be seen. Could be. What did you say? I don't know. It's the other one?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. All right. I lay in Zion. I lay in the very place of Jerusalem. What does he lay there?
The chief cross.
Chief cross. Who is that?
Lord
Jesus Christ. Now notice what the first thing is what about the Lord Jesus here? What does elect mean?
It's chosen.
The chosen, special. And what's the next word? We've read this before, precious. It's the same thing we had up in the early verses, didn't we?
Dear,
that dear means very scarce, and therefore it's very valuable. And then he that believeth on him, who's the him referred to?
Lord Jesus
Christ. So now be what?
Confounded.
What does confounded mean?
Confused.
And other translations have should not be ashamed. In the New Testament, sometimes it changes to shame, but confounded. We should never be confounded if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The cornerstone, chief cornerstone, the elect one, the precious one. All right, let's go to verses 7, 8, and 9. Let's go read 7, 8, and 9 together. Unto you, therefore, which believe, is precious, and with them which are disobedient, is owned to the brothers of God, the same as they had before the corner.
And show us something in the heart of our sense, even if it is something like the word, being disobedient, whereas also they were appointed.
But he also is a generation, a royal priesthood, holy nation, a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him that has called him out of darkness into his marvelous light. All right, so in verse number 6, we've got 6, but now we're on 7, aren't we? Yeah, 7. Unto you, therefore, talking back to verse 6, for the believers, what does it say in verse number 6? 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, who's the he referred to here?
He's precious.
It's in italics, but certainly it's implied the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. Again, we've said that word precious a third time in this chapter. It really means what? Something precious is
rare
and scarce and therefore valuable. I hope that every born-again Christian would consider the Lord Jesus to be precious. Yes, Barbara?
God considers Christ precious, right?
Yes.
Up in 4, and now we are also precious to Him.
So. Yes, very good. And you which have believed, He is precious. Well, here He is. It's referring back to the Lord Jesus.
Yeah, but we are too.
Yes, we are precious. Where does it say that?
Well, that's in Scripture.
Well, I know it's in Scripture, but not in this particular context. All right. So, now what about those that are disobedient? What does that mean, disobedient? Yeah, Vaughn, excuse me.
Remember the song we used to sing to you, with your baby is precious?
Yes.
Let's sing it.
To you who believe is precious. Okay. We don't have the verses for it.
To you who believe he is precious, whom have not seen.
Yes.
We'll have to practice that one.
Oh, that's practice.
That was a real dear song when we were going together.
Yes, it was. Do you believe he is precious?
I see you.
Now, what about those? You got anything all right then?
I'll take that.
I'll call it. Okay. But now, what is the opposite? Here are those that which believe Lord Jesus is precious and costly and rare but profitable. What about those that do not believe? What does disobedient mean in this case? Sam?
They don't believe.
They don't believe. They don't believe the gospel.
Disobedient
to the gospel. What is it true about them? What about this living stone? What is the stone which the builders disallowed? Again, what does this law mean?
Rejected.
Rejected. They rejected. The same. What's the same refer back to?
The stone.
The stone. The living stone is made what?
Head of the corner.
Head of the corner. The cornerstone. He's the cornerstone. Is that all right? That's right? Okay. The cornerstone. Head of the corner. And every building, a big building, usually has cornerstones. If it's large, what does a cornerstone do, if you remember?
It holds the building up.
It holds the building. It's the last little thing you put in so it won't fall down. I'm not a builder, so I don't know the
details. It's in the
corner. In the corner, yes. It's in the corner. Especially that.
Don't they? And sometimes they don't put the cornerstone first. Just make sure it's plumb, square, and level.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they do. You're more of a builder than I. I'll take your word for it.
I'm not sure that's true. And I mean, there is a part of a ceremonial type of cornerstone that they put at the end. But I mean,
that's so they get everything squared. But it's this way, that horizontal vertical.
Somewhere near the cornerstone, you can bury things, put things, hide things. And then 20 years, 200 years from now, they look in there.
I guess sometimes they do that. I don't know. So, I don't know what around.
Where is our cornerstone?
I don't know whether there is a cornerstone in this house. I'm not sure. Maybe just in certain buildings they have a cornerstone. And remember the temple.
Some buildings, they probably make a bigger deal of the cornerstone than other buildings. And
that's
houses,
true.
There are plenty of houses, so they don't make a big deal of it. But like in the town hall,
right.
They make a point.
That's right.
And speaking of a big deal about the cornerstone of the church, Lord Jesus Christ, certainly.
He's a big deal.
Chief Christ.
And everything will be on plumbing level.
Yes.
Plumbing level. Perfect.
Line up with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Elect, precious, and perfect. Now, I know in the temple or something, they were looking around to rebuild, and they lost the corners for something. Remember in the Old Testament? I can't remember just exactly what, but they were looking for it. They finally found it, and it worked out the building, whether it was a temple.
Wasn't it in a bunch of rubbish piles?
It was in the rubbish. It was rubbish of some kind. They had to seek it out, and they found it. I don't remember the details. It's in the Old Testament. There was an Old Testament building, whether it's a temple. You know, they made several temples in the Old Testament. What it was, they couldn't find this cornerstone, then they finally found it, put it in place, and then they could build the building. I'm not sure exactly the details, but something in there in the old cornerstone. Alright, so that's verse number 7. Then in verse 8, what else do the disobedient people think the Lord Jesus is?
He can be a stone of stumbling.
What does that mean? Stumbling. Yes, Tammy.
Well, it seems like he not only seems to be a stone of stumbling, but he is an actual stone of stumbling.
Yes.
Because they don't trust in him.
So, as far as they're concerned, now, if a stone is put in your path and you trip over it and stumble, that's a bad thing, isn't it? So these that don't believe, it's just like it's going to stumble over, fall, maybe break a couple arms or legs or whatever. But he's precious to the ones that believe. Stone of stumbling. What else is it to the disobedient? Disallowed. Stone of stumbling. Now, what's the third thing he is in verse number 8? Yeah, Tammy.
He's a rock of offense.
What would that mean?
He causes people to offend.
That's right. They're offended by him, aren't they? They're offended. They just can't stand him. It's terrible. Now, they can stand, perhaps, a fake Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, they make all kinds of fake Jesus, and they just worship these fake Jesus, but the real, genuine, living stone is precious. He's a rock of offense. Then, to what people is he a rock of offense in that verse number 8? To what people, yeah, Barbara?
Those who stumble at the word.
Those who stumble at the word. In other words, those that don't believe the word of God, the scriptures. And what are they that stumble at the word? In verse number 9. Disobedient. Weren't you also... They were appointed. What does that mean?
They had a job to do.
Had a job to do. They're appointed, Barbara.
The disobedient is disbelief.
That's right. They were appointed to the simple thing that they had. Disobedient, appointed to death. Barbara? Miss Tammy?
Because of their unbelief, they were appointed to have the stone of stumbling and rock of offense.
And problems.
Because they did not believe.
That's right. They didn't believe. They're all these things.
Not because
that
they were chosen to, because of election or something.
No, that's right. But you're right.
Some people might say that.
Yes, but I think you're right. Stone of stumbling number 1, rock of offense number 2, and stumbling at the word. Disobedient. Mm-hmm. So those things just lead to, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're already appointed to eternal fire in hell, isn't that right? Yeah. To which you're appointed. All right, we're going to stop right here, but do you have any other comments before we close today? Why if not, let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank Thee we can study this book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. We ask Thee, Lord, that each one who is genuine a Christian may be able to have wonderful fellowship in Thy Word. Help us to desire it as a sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow, continue to grow day by day, reading, studying, and following Thy Word. Thank Thee for the Savior that's perfect and sinless, precious, very rare, the only one of his kind. No other person can seek it to save the lost, such as we were before we trusted Christ. So guide us and help us to live for him. Bring us back on Thursday for Bible study. And may we glorify our Savior who is at thy right hand and looking at us, listening to us, and help us to live and live for him. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.